There's a legal case pending in New York in which Disney has sued a company over unlicensed characters. Disney argues Characters for Hire LLC is a knockoff business which has been, quote, built upon the infringement of plaintiffs' highly valuable intellectual property rights, end quote. Joining me to talk about some of the issues associated with this is Ruth Carter. She's an attorney with the Phoenix-based firm Venturis and focuses on business, intellectual property, and internet law. And Ruth, is this an area of law that is well established? I mean, it seems like this has been an issue for years where kids have known characters come to their birthday parties and that kind of thing.
So when it comes to these intellectual property issues, I tell people the only person who can come after you is the person who owns the intellectual property. So if they don't know or they don't care about what you're doing, you're never going to get into trouble. And I think there is a difference between like renting a costume and wearing it to your child's party versus somebody having a business that's based on providing costumed characters for children's events and corporate parties.
Interesting. So you're saying that if a person, for example, goes to the costume store and rents, you know, a princess costume, a Cinderella costume or something like that, that's different than if I own a business that sends people out, because there are businesses like that where they send people out who are dressed as recognizable characters to specific events.
Exactly. There is a difference.
So if I am that business owner, how do I get around violating intellectual property laws?
So the general rule is you don't mess with Disney, which is why this case has come about, that this is a business that I don't know if the only characters they send out strongly resemble Disney characters, but he definitely has them. He doesn't use the names of the characters from these various movies. So apparently he'll say instead of like Chewbacca, he'll say like Big Hairy Man. So it looks like he's either trying to be respectful or trying to skirt the law just enough that he's on the right side. The case is still ongoing, so we'll see how the judge decides it in the end.
So in a case like this, or in a situation like with Disney, like, do they actively look for institutions that might be violating their copyrights?
I don't work for Disney. I can't speak for them, but I suspect that they have people who monitor the internet and probably attend like various comic conventions, trying to stay aware of what other people are doing so that they can assert their rights if they suspect that somebody is violating their intellectual property rights.
How far does this kind of thing go? I mean, like if I go online and write, for example, Harry Potter fan fiction, is that okay or am I breaking the law?
So I can't give legal advice to anybody who's not my client.
Of course.
But I would do some research into that issue. I've spoken on this topic at Phoenix Comic Con, back when it was Phoenix Comic Con. And I tell people, do your research into whether or not the intellectual property owner allows for this type of thing. So in your example, Harry Potter, from what I understand, J.K. Rowling loves fan art and fan fiction as long as you are not crossing into the realm of adult fan art and fan fiction.
Does intent matter here in terms of if you're trying to make money off of somebody else's intellectual property versus paying homage or just trying to, you know, entertain some friends, but there's really no monetary benefit to you of doing that?
I've heard from several artists who say that they don't mind fan art and fan fiction as long as the fan is not trying to sell it. Because when you start selling it, you might be interfering with the artist's ability to make a living off of their work.
And is it safe to say that this applies not just to Disney characters, but music and other kinds of art, movies, literature, that kind of thing?
Exactly.
Have you seen that these types of cases, there are maybe more of them, or the cases themselves, the arguments have changed as we see more and more stuff posted on social media and things posted online, people posting videos on YouTube, things like that? Has that changed sort of this area of law?
I think it's changed the prevalence of these issues because I don't think people realize how important intellectual property rights are and how many people think that they can just use anything that they find online. Whereas with other intellectual property violations, you'd have to be like photocopying books or copying music, things that are like so obvious, like you can't, like you feel like you're stealing because of how much work goes into making counterfeits, that a lot of people don't understand that the same type of rules apply to things like copy and pasting, or maybe like running an Etsy store where you're putting out t-shirts about your favorite movie. That's an intellectual property issue. Not just you love the movie, like we love that you love it, but that doesn't mean you're allowed to make money off of it.
All right, Ruth, thanks a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Ruth Carter is an attorney with the firm Venturis, focusing on business, intellectual property, and internet law.